Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and Kendra is actually out today. She's hanging out with her sweet baby girl at home. And so it is me. And if you're watching, you can see that I have a sweet guest with me. I'll introduce her in just a second. But if you're new to the program is called Hannah's Heart. We are on American Family Radio. We are a podcast/radio show that focuses a lot on infertility and miscarriage. But for the month of May, when you're hearing this recording, we are actually focusing on foster care awareness, because May is Foster Care Awareness Month. And so you'll hear different stories each week of amazing foster parents and foster kiddos and kiddos that were adopted through foster care, and how we can be more support to those families. So speaking of that, that is how me and this guest got close. Lane. Lane McClellan is on today to talk about her unique story with foster care and the sweet kiddo that she's come to know and love with all her heart through care. So Lane, can you say hey?
Hey.
And she's done.
She's out of my comfort zone.
Out of your comfort zone. No, she's going to do perfect. Okay, so do you mind just starting out and telling us a little bit about yourself and like maybe how you got to the point of, okay, I'm going to do foster care? Because your story is unique in that you're single. And so a lot of us, we know that if you've been a foster parent before, a husband and wife team, foster care is still hard, very, very hard. And so when you take on the role of a foster parent as a single lady, that's hard. There's no other word for that. And so, yeah, that's what I wanted you on today, just to talk about your unique situation.
It's kind of nice to hear that sometimes, too, just like it's validating.
You know? It will be validating.
Yeah. I don't really know when I first started having the desire to foster. I know I was younger. Like, I know, gosh, I may have been like high school, college, as far as like, I just always thought it was a need. I always recognized it as a need. And I always thought, I don't know, I've just always loved kids and worked with kids a lot. And so just kind of, yeah, just thought I was supposed to. But I guess the older I got, and in the past, like, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, started thinking about how, like, the timing is never actually going to be right. And so, I could sit around and I could wait, or I could wait on someone to foster with, or I could just, like, do it. Because, like, the desire has never gone away. And I fully believe in its purpose. And so, so one day I was just kind of like, okay, well, I mean, I really am not, like, what am I waiting on? There's not going to be a good time. So, so I went ahead and did my application and started the process. And so there wasn't like a epiphany moment
But just a calling through the years. And from my view, looking in as an outsider, watching you love on another sweet family that is basically your little boy too. but you were such a big time fault because you were doing respite care for him, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, ish.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I like wasn't even thinking about that part. That probably did prompt things, because I think at that point I was like, oh, I could have like a child 24/7 and be okay with it, because, you know, I already loved him so much. And so I was like, I know that I could I know that I could take care of and love a baby of my own. And right. so I just, that you're right. I'm glad you know my story.
Well, you are such this sweet friend is another girl named Lane. And they got a little boy through foster care, bitty baby Bray. And you just came in like basically, you know, another, what, a fifth hand, you know, yeah. With her and her hubby, with this baby and her biological boys. And they ended up adopting mm-hmm. Bray. And so just watching you love on them, I know spoke to me. And then, yeah, I know that, I don't know if this sounds right, but I know, so my sister, she was on the show not long ago and talking about singleness mm-hmm. and just the difference of, you know, you're longing for a husband, but at the same time, you could also be longing for a baby, but the husband's supposed to come first, you know? And so her getting to love on my kids because of mm-hmm. her availability sometimes doesn't feel good, but to know what a blessing, mm-hmm. you know, she is to Will and I. And I know that had to be the same for y'all, but that, did that hurt at all? Would that ever be hard? Was it hard to?
Yeah. You mean like in terms of, the singleness
yeah,
part?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I mean, same perspective in that the, yeah, I just think I wouldn't have all the time to do all the things for my friends mm-hmm. and be present mm-hmm. for my friends and be able to help with their kids and with Bray, you know, if I, yeah, if I had someone else that I was, you know,
right.
devoting all my time to.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Which I know as a person, when you're walking through that, because I felt the same way even though I was married, but when we were walking through infertility, as much as I like loved that I got to help, sometimes it would also hurt that I got to yes. help, you know? Mm-hmm. And even I didn't work here at the time, but like it was almost like I got a different respect level when, you know, because I was always available. Mm-hmm. I didn't have kids, you know? And so like, well, Ann could come in early, Ann could stay late, you know? But if the ones who had kids didn't ever get asked mm-hmm. to do that because they knew that they weren't available, you know? So like, it's crazy how what we're walking through in life could is hurtful a lot of the times, but how God, if you surrender that hurt, can use that in other people's lives. And I feel like in, you know, our own personal lives and your life as well, because I know you love that little boy Bray with yes. all your heart.
Yes.
So anyway, that was just as, you know, watching you walk through that and then you choosing to become a foster mom yourself. It's a testimony to me just watching you mm-hmm. Love the Lord first and then loving those kiddos Thank right you. After. So anyway, okay, so we started paperwork and what happens next?
So I remember telling my mom too, and she would say, or I was telling my parents, and she would say this now too. Actually, she tells everybody, but so in the middle of me starting the paperwork, my dad was terminally ill yeah. With Lou Gehrig's disease. And I remember telling my mom and saying, hey, I finally did it. I finally like submitted mm-hmm. the paperwork. Here we go, you know? And she would tell you this, she had some hesitancies at first yeah, just because yeah. the care that my dad was requiring at the time was, I mean, it was a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of, you know, second in command, I guess, next to her. Yeah. yeah. So if she needed to do things or, you know, just in general, like I was kind of the next person. And so she was a little kind of like, I'm a little nervous about how this is going to work because you're going to be, you know, taking care of a child now too. yeah. So, but she would say now she's like, you know, the baby was a godsend.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure it was
really
for
cool.
Daddy too.
Uh-huh. It was really cool how it worked out. And she would say that now and tells everybody actually. So, but yeah, so I told them and then they, like, I did the paperwork and the home study and all of that was done. And honestly, I thought the process moved pretty quickly from what I can remember because I always hear, like, horror stories yeah. sometimes with yeah. it. But I felt like it moved pretty quickly. And I think it was submitted. I feel like I was submitted, like, 1 week. And then within the next week, I had a call. And that one didn't work out. But then, like, I think I had one other for emergency placement, and I couldn't do it. And it was like the third call, and it was a Sunday night, and I was actually taking Bray home from a birthday party, and one of my friend's kids, Zuri, they were in my back seat, and I got a call from the social worker, and something was just like, okay, this is it. Wow. And so, and it was very quick. So it was, I mean, within a week. It had to have been a week or two, probably.
That paperwork got done?
Well, I say that. It may have been a month. But yeah, it was really quick.
Wow. Well, even really a month, quick. It's fast.
It was
yeah.
really quick. But I think my first call may have been within a week or two. But yeah, so it was really, really fast. I didn't have a car seat. So when I took Bray home, they gave me a car seat. And yeah, went from there.
And he was how old, baby boy?
He was turning one that week.
I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Y'all mm-hmm. literally had a birthday party for him, like, what, mm-hmm. a day or two after he mm-hmm. came to your house?
I got him on Sunday, and we had a party on Saturday.
Oh,
yeah. And, like, it was a legit party, too.
It was a legit party.
It was a legit party. My friends came through.
They did. Well, I just see in pictures, I remember being like, wow. I mean, it looked like you had this plan for months, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. it's crazy how the Lord literally just provide anything for his first birthday, right? Mm-hmm. So just something that we could think would be simple, his first birthday party, like you literally had everything that you needed to have for mm-hmm. him there. And so he will always know he was celebrated that first birthday when that might not have happened, mm-hmm. you know? And so, yeah, I know just, you know, looking in on your life, you have such a good support system, it seems like, from your sweet mama to, you know, such good friends of yours mm-hmm. that, you know, don't have the same story as you. Maybe they have never been in foster care in any way other than being involved mm-hmm. because of you and your sweet little man. So, okay, we're here, and he has his first birthday, and then how does the story move on from there?
Well, so when I signed up to foster, I went into it strictly with, you know, fostering. Like, that okay. was my mindset. So I knew that, I
so
knew the purpose.
Adoption wasn't?
Well, I knew in the back of my mind one day I might adopt, but, like, I knew that with fostering, like, the purpose is reunification.
Right.
And I understood that and I accepted that because I think a lot of people go into it not quite comprehending that or not quite
accepting
good word.
That mm-hmm. is hard to accept because you think you get attached to these babies, these kiddos, and then you're like, no, this is the way that they like life. This is what we do. This is where they go to school. This is where they go to church. But the whole time you have bio parents that mm-hmm. are, you know, should be fighting to get these children back in their custody, you know? And so it is hard to view it as reunification. That is the goal, reunification, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I think that's so good that you went in with that mindset.
Yes, yes, because I think it's important. And when people ask me now, too, and they say, hey, I'm thinking about fostering, but I'm wanting to adopt. I mean, I'm honest with them. I'm like, hey, you can't go into it strictly with that being your goal, like of adoption.
No.
Because, you know, what's best for these kids isn't always you.
Right.
You know, it's just not. You're there to serve a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, in for a time frame, usually. And so, yeah, but that's not so his story just looked very different. It ended up being like kind of soon after we knew rights were gonna be terminated. And
this was like a year?
Even a year that they knew that they had
made that decision.
It was probably, they had thought that was probably what was going to happen. But like it wasn't actually done for a really long time. Okay. And there was just talk of it. So a lot of it was like, you know, a waiting game.
Yes.
And so in the meantime, though, I was trying to figure out, you know, I just wanted to make sure I was making a clear decision, not just based off of like emotions or mm-hmm. my own personal grief or, you know, just lots of things. I wanted to make sure that whatever decision I made with that in adoption or not, that it was for all the right reasons, yeah. you know? And so, so rights ended up being terminated. And again, that was like a long time after I had him. It was probably like a year and a half, maybe. Yeah.
After. I remember it was about that. I feel like it was about that long before he told me. And you're like, it finally happened.
Yeah.
Because, when you hear about it for so long, the same thing happened with Mark. At first, we were told he would only be with us for about 2 months. And then things kept happening mm-hmm. that he stayed longer and longer and longer. And then all of a sudden, they're talking about terminating rights. And then that takes years, it feels mm-hmm. like, you know. And I get what a big decision that is. But you're trying to still protect your heart in a way. But then you want to be open to this little boy, this baby that mm-hmm. needs you as mama. But you're like, I'm not for sure that, you know, you're going to always call me that. You know, at least that was something that I struggled with, mm-hmm. Was being vulnerable enough to him as mama, but also keeping and knowing, like, actually he might not always mm-hmm. call me that. Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, too, there wasn't, like, a day of, like, clarity either. Mm-hmm. It was just actually, like, again, it had already been decided that rights were being terminated, so I was still just kind of processing everything. Because, again, you're also grieving. You're grieving for the loss of what his life looked like. And, you know, I think so many people are like, adoption, yay, celebrating, you know, but like, it's also really heartbreaking and devastating. And it's something that like I have taken on and will have to be addressed, you know, mm-hmm. forever mm-hmm. for him. And so you're dealing with his feelings and what, you know, in his story too. And then, you know, also just the lifestyle change for me going from being single to having a child. And so it was a lot. Yeah, there's just a lot of things to process that you're taking on.
In the meantime, your dad had gotten worse.
Yes, yes.
And I don't remember, had he passed away before rights were terminated?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That he had. But actually the same week, a year later, the same week that he had passed, I got to adopt him. And then he was baptized on the day of my dad's, like a year later, on this same day as my dad's memorial service.
That's sweet. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty neat.
Those are little God winks at you, you know, just letting you know it's okay.
It was sweet.
Oh, man, because I know you and your dad were so close. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad. This is just how I work. I'm so glad your dad got to know him. And I know he might not remember him all the way, you know, but you'll have those pictures and those memories and those times that you're going to get to tell him about. Because, like, just being friends with you, I know they both love Mississippi State basketball. So
They do. And he'll see pictures of him, and he's like, Daddy Mac, there's Daddy Mac, you know. And he's still, I mean, which is sweet. He still talks about him, too.
Well, good.
Okay,
so adoption was finalized when?
In December.
Of 23?
24. I mean, 23. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're in 24. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was like,
teething and not sleeping. So here we are.
Oh, my goodness. And he is hilarious to be around, and just the life of the party when you are around him. So do you feel fully mama now?
I do feel fully mama. That's the thing, too, is it's like I've been mama since the day he, you know, came to and figuring that out.
But how old was he when he came?
He turned one that week.
Oh, we said that. I'm sorry.
But I will say, the thing that took me most by surprise, I think, upon adoption is how you've had your guard up like this whole time.
Yeah.
Because anything could happen, mm-hmm. right? And so, mm-hmm. and then like, so on adoption day, it's like you let that guard down and you're free. You already love him unconditionally, but you're free to actually like have the permission to love him unconditionally.
Yes.
And that was an emotion that like I was not
prepared for. Mm-mm. Oh yeah. Well, so you're talking about how heartbreaking it can be when rights are terminated. It is heartbreaking. I was not prepared to be as sad as I was. I thought the whole time I was just going to be like, thank you, God, it finally happened. But then we were literally told that morning, like, hey, they're having court today. We had been told that court was canceled. And so then they let me know court's happening. I was like, oh, okay. And then they text me and tell me, hey, rights are terminated. And it was the craziest thing that I was so sad about. But also, yeah, the biggest load of my life had been just lifted off my shoulders. But I was so sad. And then, yeah, talk about day of adoption, to fully feel like it's okay for you to call me mama. No, it really is okay for you to call, you know. Yes, that night, whenever that really hit me after all the celebrating was over and I could go to sleep that night knowing I didn't have to worry if he was actually going to end up leaving out of my control, you know.
Yeah. I think, so that weekend, though, too, I was, like, physically, like, I felt like I physically couldn't move. Like, so it happened on Friday, and so that Friday night, I remember my sister and I got in one of our biggest fights that night. Because, like, I hadn't helped do something. And I'm like, I literally cannot, like, sorry. I can't, like, I felt like I physically could not function. That's how emotionally, you know, like, bombarded. Emotionally draining, yeah. it was just that I physically could not, like, stay up any longer or put one foot in front of the other. And I was like, nobody can really understand that unless you've done it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, it takes some, and so many good and, yeah, and still broken things about, you know, what adoption means. And then our two boys are brown, and our skin is not brown, you know. And so I know me and you have the same story. We won't get into all that, but we were both very much discouraged from adopting these boys because our skin tones are different. And so I feel like that was almost heavy on my heart that day, too, like, he's going to have that story. He's not going to, am I going to be able to answer questions? His daddy's going to be white, you know, white man, black baby, you know, so many things that as a culture, I feel like we can put such negative things on that actually it's just God making something beautiful out of dust, you know? And so now I can feel that way. But I remember that day that was heavy on me too, like because of what me and you had actually experienced, you know, such negative view of us being able to adopt these beautiful brown little boys because of our skin color.
But I do think, you know, in adopting, like, it's also a commitment, right? Like, yeah. It's a commitment to say, like, hey, I still want you to know your culture, and I still right. want you to, like, have friends that look like you. And, like, you know, it's a commitment to that too. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be naive about it, and I'm not going to say it's not going to be hard, because right. It is.
Yeah. And we're going to have to learn things together, because there's even questions, you know, Mark's little 3-year-old self already, he's already started asking. And so, yeah, it's definitely, you know, being willing to seek counsel. And I feel like, I hate to say white culture, black culture, but it is what it is. You know, to go to our black friends and black neighbors and say, hey, yeah, like, how do you do their hair? How do you, you know, things like that, and being willing to humble yourself, myself, to say, I don't know the best answer. Can we hang out? Can we be friends just because I'm white and you're black? You know, like, yeah. That is a thing. And so I would highly encourage anyone who is fostering or adopting just a different color culture. You know, we can talk about Asian, Latino, or we have a black family fostering a white kid. You know, it's the same thing. We're all unique in our own ways, and I think that's all wonderful things and not a reason to not adopt somebody, right. But a reason to love them more and just to get to know them more and their culture, you know, as we're doing that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you have advice for someone, a single girl or a single man that could be contemplating and saying, like, oh, it's just not time, I'm not married, but you did it.
Yeah, did do it. Still doing it.
That's right.
May do it again. Who knows? I just, again, back to, there's never really going to be a right time. Like, I think if you have the desire or you're feeling the calling, you just do it. And, you know, I will say if I did not have the support system that I have, and if I did not have my mom and my sister, and then my incredible friends, it would be a lot harder.
Yeah.
So I do think that, like, that is important and kind of having, you know, a village, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
But I do think that that is important. But if you have that, then I'm like, what are you waiting on?
All right, great. Well, and it is crazy how the Lord always sees you through, like, with every doubt and every worry. It's so many times that I've looked back and be like, what? That literally kept me up for 3 nights in a row. And God had it the whole time, you know. And so, anyway, Elaine, I appreciate you coming on today and just talking about your sweet boy and y'all's story, because y'all's story is so different. But it's so fun to watch and get to be a part of. And now my family talks about your sweet boy like he's part of us. And keeps up with him that way, for sure. But if you're listening, I hope that this encouraged you to maybe seek out more information on foster care, whether you're happily married or happily single or ready to get married, and just let you see that God can use you in any area of your life, no matter what your life looks like right now. Thank you for listening to Hannah's Heart.